You going back? She's not like you, is she? Yeah. All right, go back to my thing, Brandon. We're going to just recap a first couple of slides from last week and then go into a verse from Psalms 100 to just recap that one verse, what we're talking about. We're talking about a heart of Thanksgiving. If you weren't here last Wednesday, we're doing a little series this month on Thanksgiving because this month is what? Yeah, Thanksgiving. So I thought, what a cool thing to talk about us being thankful, because Thanksgiving Day has definitely been, like everything else, commercialized, politicized, economicized. You know, it's all about the money, about the holiday, about the events, about everything but what it should be. And so we want to see what God says about us being thankful, because a thankful heart means a lot to God. And go to the next slide. Let's first of all define what Thanksgiving is again. Thanksgiving is the expression of gratitude, especially toward God. You ever did something for someone and didn't thank you for it? Don't that just tick you off? Don't it burn you to the core? Can't even say thank you. You know, we got into a world now, and I know a lot of guys don't do this. I still do. I'm from old school. So if I see a woman, I'm going to open a door for a woman. I'm going to hold a car. I do those things. And I love when I hold a door open for a woman, and they walk by and don't say a word to me. Ugly words kind of my mind. I have to be good. I can't say those ugly words. I'm like, really? I'm holding the door before you walk right by me and don't even say thank you. You know, thankfulness is something that we've gotten away from because I think that we have become so expectant to have everything. You know, my dad tells me stories, and of course, my grandma's told me stories, you know, and I talked to Mr. Williams today, and he told me stories that, you know, he's told me today, he said, man, when I grew up, we didn't have nothing. Didn't have nothing. Dad came out of a family of nine. I mean, he's lucky to get in the house at night to sleep. Nine of them. One, two, three. Okay, they're all here. Locked door. I mean, you know, didn't have nothing. And so that generation, my parents' generation and before, really learned to appreciate everything because times were hard. And then luckily, my generation, Generation X, was a lot more blessed. I never worried about anything. Dad and Mom made a good living for me. I never had to worry about anything. And then my kids are even in a more abundant, really entitled, I guess you would say, almost generation. And so we see sometimes that we lose that gratitude of being thankful for things. All we're worried about is what we don't have and not what we do have. I don't have that, but look what you do have, you know? And so as you start making an itemized list of all the blessings in your life, I guarantee you they're going to outweigh what you don't have. I said this last Wednesday. There are many people around you that would love to trade places in your life. I promise you. Go through Walmart area and see all these people, homeless people now walking around, sleeping under bridges, sleeping on the streets. You know, don't have a nickel to their name. Don't have nothing. People that get laid off and you know, are struggling financially. People that, you know, have been through divorce and are hurting in their relationship. People that have their kids they don't even talk to. All these things that we take for granted that you have. Now, life's hard for all of us. There ain't nobody in here ain't got a battle. But all of us in here can be thankful. And it's an expression of gratitude, especially toward God. Okay, go to the next slide. And we asked this question last week. I'll go back to it. There's two ways we can think about life. And we all fall into both of these questions. What do I thank God for? Am I that person? What am I thanking God for? Or am I the person? What do I complain about? You know, are we a pessimistic or are we optimistic, right? Are we a complainer or are we a thinker? You know, are we always seeing the negative or are we seeing the positive? For most of us, probably it's a mix. But if we start really looking at what I can thank God for, guess what happens? All the things we complain about become a lot smaller. I said this last Wednesday, it applies to all of you today. We got some ones that wasn't here last Wednesday. You know, Zoe's here tonight, applies to her. I don't think Teresa was here last week, applies to her. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Well, see, that just shows you weren't here Sunday. That's what it was. So see, I did miss you. You weren't here Sunday. But I asked this question. I said this. All of you walked in here on your own power. All of you can see me. Maybe not as good as some others, but you can see me. All of you can hear me. You know, all of you still have a brain in your head. You still got a sound mind. All of you drove tonight, I think. I think nobody walked up here in this cold or rode a bike, did you? You drove. Anybody not have heat in your car? Everybody got heat in their car. You had that heat blowing while you're driving? All of you come in here blessed. You all got clothes on because ain't none of you, you know, not clothed. We appreciate that. We're a church that accepts everybody, but there are some standards. So you all got clothes on. All of you came in with all those things that we take for granted. Do y'all know folks that don't have a car? I do. I know folks that can't walk. I know folks that are blind. I know folks that don't have a sound mind. You're not in prison tonight. You're not in the hospital tonight. You're not in a nursing home tonight. Think about that. You're free to come and go as you please. You're blessed. So blessed. So which way do we think? Am I one that thanks God for things, or am I one that complains about things? Because how you answer that question will be how you live your life. And I want to have a more thankful heart, because I know that we expect so much and don't thank God for near enough. Go to the next slide, Brandon. We'll get into our scripture. We kicked this off last week. This is Psalms 100 and verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Our whole attitude changes when we become thankful instead of expectant. I seen someone on Facebook, somebody shared today, had the 11 points of someone who feels like they're a victim, the victim mentality. 11 points. I'm not with names, I don't know them all, but I read it and I seen all that. I'm like, that is so true for so many people. They have the victim mentality instead of the thankful mentality. I'm going to enter his gates with thanksgiving. But you don't know how my week's been, Pastor. It's been better than some others. And it's been better than it could have been. It could have been a lot worse. Even with Bruce and Linda's situation, their house catching on fire and going through that emotional, you know, to me, the worst part of that is the emotional trauma more than the financial trauma. Because their insurance will replace all that stuff. They'll get a big fat check to cover all that. That part will be replaced. But here's what hurts. The emotional trauma of your home burning up. Knowing your kids and your wife and you may not have gotten out. Reliving that over and over in your head. And seeing all of that. And there's things that can't be replaced sentimentally. I know that. But even there in their situation, guess what? They were all four here Sunday morning, weren't they? They were all clothed, they drove in their car, and they're very much alive, and they're very much well. Houses can be rebuilt, clothes can be rebought, laptops can be repurchased, all that can be replaced. So even when they're fired, you know, for some people, you know, what happened to me? I'm getting all the bad luck. Man, God woke you up. You know what Linda told me when I called her? She says, we heard something about 4:30. I heard something. And so I hit Bruce. I said, I hear something. Go check it out. And here's what she said. I said, I'm glad he didn't roll back over. So he got up and he went downstairs and he saw the flames. The alarms didn't wake him up. The smoke detectors didn't wake him up. I asked her that. I said, no, they didn't go off. So we heard something. God woke them up to be able to get their family out of the house. We thank God for those things. Thankful heart, right? Thankful that we're okay. Thankful we're alive. So what you total a car, you're alive. So what's your house burned down, but you're alive. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless God. Just in the video clip on YouTube where the pilot, I know Marjorie saw it because she commented on it, where the pilot landed, I think in a Chicago O'Hare, hit the runway and the plane slid off. Did anybody see that video? Yeah, it was going from Chicago to Greensboro, Chicago. And it landed in Chicago. There's a video, guy's filming the landing out the window, and it's going. All of a sudden, you start hearing, oh, no. And the plane slides off. That'd be scary, sliding on an icy runway going 300 miles an hour. And it ran off the runway. Everybody was fine. The plane stopped. Well, what got me, I started reading the comments. A lot of people were saying, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You see some of the negative comments? There were several put, don't thank Jesus, thank the pilot. Don't thank God. And one person put, if God was to be thanked, one comment says, why do you serve a God who even let that happen? Let what happen? A plane just slide? I mean, everybody was okay? I mean, really? I couldn't believe the comments I was seeing. We have forgotten as a people sometimes to thank God for everything. Yes, the pilots, you know, kept their cool, and yes, thank God they were there. But you know what? If that had been a pilot in the cockpit, God still could have landed and stopped that plane at his command. That's the God we serve. God could still do it. God gets all the credit. I see comments like that all the time where, you know, a homeless person will get money and they say, you know, I thank God. Don't thank God. Thank me. I'm the one who gave you the $20. Yeah, but why'd you? Who really provided that, though? I mean, God still used you to bless them. It still comes from God. So be thankful to God unto his name and bless him. Let's go to the next verse. This is new material from here on out tonight, new verses. This is in Psalm 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song. We talked about that last week. Remember about singing. That when you're singing, you're in what kind of mood usually? A good mood. You don't sing when you're grouchy. I mean, you don't go around just singing songs in your kitchen when you're in an ill mood. I mean, I wouldn't think you would. That's just weird. Right? You know, you ain't going to be, you know, I love you, Jesus. Sound like Black Sabbath or something trying to sing. I love you, Jesus. You're not going to sing like that. You sing when you're happy. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Yeah. His eye is on the sparrow. I'm Little June. And I know he watches me. That's why I sing. We sing. Thank you. I sing because I'm happy. Y'all just feel sorry for me. I don't blame you. When we start singing to God, usually because we're happy. We magnify him. Look at that word magnify. We know what magnify means. It means to enlarge. That's why some of you have bifocals. It enlarged. I had to use Mr. Williams' bifocals today to read something. I said, can I see your glasses? I'm sitting here with God's glasses on. When we magnify something, we're making it bigger. We're making it larger. You know what happens when we start magnifying God? All of a sudden, God becomes a lot bigger than our problems. God becomes a lot bigger than what we don't have. Man, you're God. I mean, space, creation, the seas, nations, mountains, beaches, deserts, jungles, all the things we see is all God. Magnify him, make him, enlarge him, praise him, sing to him with thanksgiving. If you don't have nothing here tonight to be thankful for, you've got this, that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when your last breath ends here, because the price he paid for you, there is hope for you to have everlasting life. That's something to be thankful for. I don't have to worry about death. As Sanford Sane, our friend, passed away yesterday afternoon at 3:13 in the afternoon, as he gave up his last breath, though he could be very thankful as he was laying there. He got dementia really bad. It's gotten really, really bad. And as he was laying there, whatever soundness of mind he had, he could still be thankful. Though he was slipping out of the world, leaving his family behind, he could be thankful, I'm about to see Jesus. It's about to be over for me. I'm going home. Man, I'm going home. All of us as God's children are on our way home. This is the journey. Life is the journey. Earth is the journey. The 60, 80, 100 years, this is our journey. This is not our end destination. This is not the final outcome. It's our journey to get us to where God's prepared for us. That's why I can thank God. I know where the race ends. I know when I cross the finish line where I will be. I will be around the throne of a holy, perfect God forevermore, praising his holy name. So I'm going to be thankful. No matter what I'm battling, I can be thankful. Next verse. This is Psalms 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. There it is again, sing. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. David here talks about some reasons why we should be happy. He's the rock of our salvation. Rock's foundation, right? That's what that means. He's the foundation of my salvation. We can get very, our mind can get very confused sometimes, and our vision can get very dimmed with the things around us that are happening that are wrong. I get that. You know, the car breaks down, you know, the the bills are behind, you lose your job, you know, this, one thing after the other. And before you know it, you start looking at things the wrong way, and you forget to thank God for what's right. There's a lot of things in our life that's right. And I know it's hard to thank God when tragedy comes. I know it's hard. Some of you have lost spouses, children. You know, you've lost things in your life that, parents, you've lost things that hurt tremendously. But you still have something to thank God for. God didn't leave you. God didn't forsake you. And God didn't abandon you. And God made a way for you. And God continually meets your needs every single day. He meets your needs. I thank God for that daily bread he gives me. Daily bread, because I need it every single day. He's the rock of our salvation. Next verse. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, with a heart of gratitude. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you for not leaving me. Thank you, God, for always watching me. Thank you, God, you woke me up this morning. Thank you, kept me safe. Thank you, God, for all that you've done. I shared last week how, you know, my son had been in like 4 or 5 different accidents and things. And, you know, I think only one was actually his fault. The rest of them weren't. But they were accidents he was involved in and how he walked away from those things. You total a bike, you total a car, you know, you have to go to the doctor and get stitches, whatever, all that. He's alive. In the scheme of everything, that's all that matters. He's alive. He made it another day. You've made it another day, and you'll make it another day by the grace and hand of God. He will strengthen you and equip you. We have something to be thankful for. It's the month we talk about gratitude. And most of us on Thanksgiving this year, most of us, I know there could be an exception, but as far as our church family Living Word, most of us on Thanksgiving Day will have food to eat. We'll probably be at someone's house gathered together with someone. We'll have turkey and ham and all the trimmings. All of us be watching football that day. We'll be hitting the Black Friday sales. Knock on the window again. We'll be hitting the Black Friday sales. I seen a picture on Facebook. You may have saw this. It shows the stadium on, it says, well, it showed all these people like at a store. It said Black Friday crowd. Then Saturday it showed a big football stadium. Saturday crowd. Then it showed Sunday church. 10 people in there. Sunday crowd. So if y'all get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to Black Friday and get to church at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. I thought, how true, amen to that. Hello. It's our window knocker. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Why do we say our blessing before we eat? What are we doing? We're thanking the Lord for what we have, aren't we? We're thanking God for our food. Now, some prayers are shorter, some are longer. And I've learned this as a pastor. Roger does a very good blessing. If you want a blessing, ask Roger. Because here's what Roger wants to say. We thank you for the food, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's all you need. Man, I've heard folks say a blessing till they go have a baptism up in there. I'm like, man, you're praying for their dog and their aunt and their cousin. Man, we're just trying to eat some cheese fries up here at Logan's. Let's just say, let's bless the food. You want to have a prayer meeting? Go to a parking lot and have one. Jeez. Me and Mel, and I feel bad. I'm a pastor and a Christian. And we're sitting in a restaurant one day, me and Mel, and they're just table behind us, and they join hands and say the blessing. This guy goes on and on and on. And I'm sitting there looking at Mel, and I'm like, good gosh. It's a blessing over a lunch. Man, poor waitress, you know. Holding tea pitcher. I mean, gracious. We say the blessing over our food because we're giving thanks. Thank you, Lord, for this food. Thank you that you supplied it. Thank you that I have it. Thank you, God. Let it strengthen my body. Use it, God, for your glory. We thank God for things. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Once again, that means with singing. Next verse. For the Lord, now here it gets a little specific of why we should thank God. For the Lord is a great God. I think we all know that, right? My God's pretty great. So he's a great God. So that's why I thank him. Then he goes on to say he's a great God and a great king above all gods. So not only is my God great, he's the greatest. Not only is my God a great God, he's also a great king, and he's the king over all kings and lord over all lords. I serve the top dog. I serve the head honcho. Nobody above my God. So I'm thankful. And this it's this God that we serve that actually knows what we're going through. How can this great big God over all the universe possibly care what Charles is going through? Here's God of the universe, right? Flung the stars and the sun and the moon, and I said, let there be light, and I created the donkey and the raccoon and the possum and the, you know, all this stuff, and I've got all the world to watch over and all the nations to watch over and all these wars and all these protests, and then, you know, I've got all this stuff to watch after. Hurricanes, tornadoes, all this stuff's happening. I'm God over all of it. And Charles over here saying, man, God, I need somebody to come get, I need to get a haircut, somebody. Send me somebody to get a hair, $10 haircut. And you know what? God cares about that. And God hears that. Because our God doesn't have selective hearing. Our God hears all, hears everyone. He knows your thoughts. He knows your intents. He knows your desires. Though he's the greatest God of all, he's king over the whole universe, but yet he's king over me. That's what's beautiful about it. Who am I, as a song says, right? Who am I that the God of all creation would know my name? Who am I? It's not because of what I've done, because of who he is. Not because of who I am, because of what he's done. I'm somebody to him. The world may take you and shut you out and turn you off like a television, but God will never turn you off or push you away. This great God, this great King actually hears you and cares about you and answers you and watches you and loves you and preserves you and blesses you and heals you and delivers you. This is our King. So yes, I'm thankful this King is my King. That he takes time. What's the old song? He sits high and looks low. Yeah. He sits high and he looks low. He reaches us where we're at. When Doc shared last Wednesday how he cried out in his room, Lord, I need you. You know, surrendered himself, him and God one-on-one. No preacher, no organ beating, no drums beating, no music going, no, you know, Holy Ghost atmosphere happening around him. It was simply him in a room saying, God, I need you. This great King, this great Lord of all lords took time to pass by this fleshly, sinful human being called Dolphus Lee. It says, I am here. What do you need? I need you. You've got it. That's powerful. He's been there in all of our storms. That's why we're thankful. That's why we should thank God for who he is. Next verse. At his hand, we just talked about this just now. Look at this. At his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. Do you know dolphins talk to each other? Not Miami dolphins. They stink this year. I'm talking about real dolphins. They talk to each other. And the whales, they make that sound, right? That's pretty good, wasn't it? That's a whale sound. And they know what they're saying. I mean, God calls them to communicate with each other. Ants have a leader. And ants will lead a tribe of ants. When they go get your picnic basket, boo-boo, there's one in charge. And then the beehives, the queen bee, right? There's that queen bee that controls it all. We know who controls everything around here. We really do know that. It's definitely you women. We know that. It's the queen bee and that hive controls all that. You ever seen the geese fly and they fly in that V formation? If you do studies on this, each one takes their turn leading them. They all form this V formation, and then the lead one at the point will fall out at some point, and another one will take its place. Then it falls back, another one takes its place. I mean, how does that happen? Hey, George, come on. Okay, your turn, Fred. They just automatically do that. Because God put that in their instinct. This is how detailed our God is, right? Put spots on a leopard, stripes on a zebra, trunk on an elephant, long neck on giraffe, tongue on a snake with a fork. I mean, man, raccoon with bandit eyes, a possum, don't get that in God. But anyway, man, he made all of these things. He made an animal that can spray you, so stay away. He made a porcupine that's got needles that come out of it. He's that detailed. And he's your God. And he watches over you and he hears you. So why would I not come into his presence with thanksgiving? God, thank you that you know me. Thank you that you form me. Thank you that you hear me. Thank you that you see me. Thank you that you're never going to leave me. Thank you that you're in my corner 24/7. Always. You never slumber. You never sleep. You never forsake me. You are right where I'm at all the time. So God, I got something to be thankful for. The strength of the hills is his also. Went to them Blue Ridge Mountains. Me, Mally, and Shirley went up there a couple weeks ago. Boy, it was a beautiful day. Going up that parkway, up to Grandfather Mountain and seeing those beautiful blue mountains. They didn't just look. I understand. I'm not some closed up, you know, dork. Okay. I understand, man. Dork. I'm going way back. It's like an '80s word. I know that those mountains and stuff. I understand things evolved over time, but it was over God's evolution that He created that. It was God who evolved those things. And when you go up and see those Blue Ridge Mountains and just see miles and miles of mountains, and then God let me through my little binoculars. Surely binoculars. He let me through my binoculars see the skyline of Charlotte from Grandfather Mountain. That was amazing. We're up there on Grandfather Mountain. I always heard on clear day you can see the skyline of Charlotte. I thought, how can you see Charlotte from Grandfather Mountain? So we're sitting down. We got talking to these folks that were walking. And so the girls were talking to them. And so I'm sitting there and kind of scanning the horizon out there. And all of a sudden I catch something. I'm like, that's buildings. That's Charlotte, North Carolina. God is so amazing. He let us see Charlotte, North Carolina. Bank of America Stadium. I saw Luke Kuechly walking down the street and I'm playing. But man, I saw the skyline 80 miles away. That's how far it is because I asked Siri. And the way the crow flies, I'm 80 miles away from downtown Charlotte from right there. 120 miles by car, 80 miles by crow. 80 miles away, I could see downtown Charlotte. We're looking at the leaves changing, looking at all the beautiful things. There's a beautiful big pond we crossed over and just all the beauty of God. And He is over all of that. Thank you for these mountains, God, that I'm a part of. Thank you. I'm going to be honest. The older I get, the more I realize how beautiful North Carolina really is. Not stateful, you know. But North Carolina, we got a pretty state. Mountains and beaches, same state. It's awesome. Next verse. The sea is His. The sea is God's. Everything that's in it is God's. The sea is His. And He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. We learned in school something called what? Continental shift. Remember that? The continental shift. Shift. Where it was all one big landmass, remember, in the beginning? And then it broke apart and separated across the globe, and that's what formed our countries. Very well may have been that way. I don't know. Don't care. I just know when God says, move, them things moved. I know when God said, let dry land appear, it appeared. And so whatever caused it, I know God was in charge of it. He owns the seas, the hills, the dry land, everything is His. Next verse. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You know what a heart of thanksgiving does? It humbles us before God, doesn't it? We're more humble when we're thankful. When we're not thankful, we become arrogant and expectant. You owe this to me. No, God don't owe us anything. Man, God paid a price and He has settled the account, and from here on out, we're on the positive side the rest of our days. We're to the good. We're in the black rest of our lives because of what He did at Calvary. If He did nothing else for us, He saved Doc in that room by himself. Nothing else for it. He saved me in a tent revival. Did nothing else for us. He got your heart somewhere and captured it and changed it and says, you're now mine for the long haul. And I love that. When we kneel before our Maker, it's a sign of humility. That's why people bow before kings, right? They're humbling themselves. You know what? When someone bows before a king, what they're saying is, you are over me. You are more powerful than me. You have more honor than me. I'm surrendering my little life to your majesty. When we kneel before God, we're honoring him and saying, Lord, you're our majesty. So much to be thankful for. Next verse. This verse was also, is a different verse, but it said a very similar thing last Wednesday. I found it again here in Psalm 95:7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. He's our God. He's our God. We try to put people to act like us in order to make them be, you know, if you're serving my God, you got to act like this and be like this and shape like this and form like this and look like this. They're, you know, sheep are different, right? They're individual personalities, traits, all different. Each one of us are different. We all look different here tonight. We have male, we have female, we have older, we have younger. We have, you know, long hair, short hair, glasses, no glasses. We're different. But we're all part of the same pasture. We had different backgrounds. I mean, if we could go around our backgrounds, you know, I mean, just the Sunday crowd's a little bit better. Where were you born at? Yeah, got Kentucky. Okay. And y'all were born in Michigan, Roger and Lillian? Kentucky and Michigan. Where were you born at? Florida. Florida, Kentucky, Michigan, California. Anybody else from a different state than North Carolina? You're born in Texas. Ohio, Maryland. Germany. Y'all! You got the best cake in the world. I love German chocolate cake. Germany. I forgot about that. You were born. Yeah. You've got dual citizenship, don't you? You're German and American. That's pretty cool. Man, if you ran for office, it'd be a mess, wouldn't it? Oh, man. So, man, we got Maryland, Ohio, Kentucky, Florida, Texas, Germany, Michigan. All of you all over the country and the world, one of you, are now here in the same room. God has brought us together as his people. We're his people. We don't have to all look alike to be his people. All we got to do is love the same God, right? He's our Father. And we are really all siblings in here. We're all connected in the family of God. We are his people. We're part of his pasture, and we are the sheep of, what does it say? His hand. He's got me. He's got you. He's control your life. I promise you. He's got what's ahead for you. And he, you know what a shepherd does? A shepherd leads. A shepherd doesn't beat their sheep. He's not mean to their sheep. He doesn't whip the sheep. He leads the sheep. And God is leading your life step by step and day by day. We've had seasons that stink in our lives, seasons we wish we had never had to go through. But we get through them and we realize that every season has a purpose. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us that, right? The great King Solomon. Every season to everything, there is a purpose. A time to be born, time to die, time to reap, time to sow, time to dance, time to weep, time to, you know, there's a time for everything. And there is. In our lives, there are times that we have joy. There's times that we weep. There's times that we laugh and dance, and there's times we mourn. There's a time to plant. There's a time to reap. Everything has a season, but to know that God's hand is on my seasons, all of them, I'm okay with that. God, you're in my season. May not like the season I'm in, but you're in it with me. So I'll be okay. I'll make it. Last verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. A heart of gratitude will change how you serve God. You know, I've always been a giver my whole life, a financial giver. I was taught the principle of tithing when I was a young man, a kid. Mom taught me this lesson. I would earn an allowance back in the day. Now Zoe, this shows how much times have changed, darling, okay? My chores versus what, you know, you're used to, probably. I would come home every Friday, had to do some vacuuming, polish the furniture, clean the room, do all this stuff. Friday, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go play with my friends. Friday was my chore day. Remember that, Mom? Friday afternoon after school, you'd have me do some stuff around the house, and I'd go play. So I did my chores. You know how much I got paid for my allowance? $1. $1 a week. They still back in the Depression, you know what I'm saying? a dollar a week. And Mom would tell me. And I guess, I don't know how she, I mean, I always did this. I don't know how she paid me, how I did. But I do remember her doing this. I remember doing this too. She'd give the dollar and say, how much belongs to God? I say, 10 cent. And in my Sunday school class, I'd give 10 cent. That don't sound like much, but that's something that's more than some people give in this church. I'm just saying. So I gave my 10 cent. And Mom taught me that principle. So when I started working my first job at 16, it was second nature. And I didn't do it out of fear of hell. I didn't do it out of fear of I've got to do it. God ain't going to love me. I want to do it. Man, God had blessed me. I wanted to give back what God had blessed me with. And it's something that stuck with me all my lives, that when we have a heart of gratitude, even the way we give will be different. We'll give out of a heart of wanting to, not, here comes the plate. I got to give. They're going to see if I don't give. It comes about what you want to do. What you want to do. You know, me and Melly, every once in a while we eat out. You know, we always tip well. What I mean by well, we always, unless it's absolutely horrible, me and Melly personally, always leave a 20% tip. Always 20% tip. But there are times we leave more. If I feel led by the server we had, or something, I feel in my spirit, or if they were exceptional, I do something a little bit more. Because I just want to bless them. I'm not going to miss an extra $3-4 in a tip that by holding it back. Well, am I going to miss that? Man, I'm like that guy in a commercial on lawnmower. I'm in debt to my eyeballs. Remember that commercial on lawnmowers in the yard? It's some kind of financial commercial. He goes, I'm in debt to my eyeballs. Well, you know, when I'm already in debt to my eyeballs, what's $3-4 to bless somebody else? Maybe get them out of debt. I don't know. But when you give that way, it's just, I don't know, it changes your perception when you give with the right heart. So when you serve with the right heart, when you worship with the right heart, when you come to church with the right heart, it changes what you leave with. Because if you don't want to be somewhere, you're probably not going to get anything out of it, right? You know, you ever went to a restaurant and your spouse didn't want to go there, but you went anyway for them? You didn't really want to go there. And they didn't half eat. They complained the whole time. Like, Melanie don't like Village Inn, Gail. She does not like Village Inn, so I don't go with her there. I had to go myself there. But every once in a while, we will go. And I'm glad I went that one Sunday because it got Marjorie in our church. But Village Inn paid off big time that day. But if I take Melanie to Village Inn, here's what she does. She'll get a little salad and kind of dig in a little bit. She'll go get a couple slices of pizza and pick on it and push her plate. Let me know she didn't like it. She'll push it over here. Are you done? Yeah, I don't like it. You know, she don't even try to like it because she's just checked out. I mean, she walks in there knowing she don't want to eat there. Sometimes with church, you know, yeah, Sunday morning, I guess I'll go praise Jesus, worship. Probably sing that song again they sung 3 weeks ago. I don't really like, but I'll act like I'm happy. It's all about what you see, right? What you have a heart of, man, thank God you got a church to come to. Thank God you got cushioned seats in here. And heat is on and lights are here. And you got a nice facility. The roof ain't going to cave in. You know, it's a nice place to worship. You're in a safe place. It's so safe our folks can't even get into service. I mean, we got this place barricaded. They got to knock on the window to get in so you can feel safe. Be thankful. You come in here Sunday, come in with a heart of thanksgiving. God, I'm thankful that I'm here. I'm going to enter your courts with praise and thanksgiving and give you thanks for everything you've done for me. You brought me back here another week. You kept me alive another week. My family saved another week. You blessed me every single day, God, and I thank you for it. Have a heart of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. All right, that's it for tonight. That is my message. So I hope you will take it to heart. We'll talk on this two more weeks probably, finish out November with Thanksgiving. And we're going to get some crowd participation probably the week after next. We're going to go around. I want y'all to be thinking about some things. Challenge yourself of what you really thank God for. And we're going to maybe get some crowd participation, give you a chance to really crowd participation. Crowd participation. I'm sorry, yeah. And that's it. I do some crowd participation, y'all. I'm from the South, huh? Yes, I think. Go ahead, share this. Yes. Awesome. That's glad you shared that. That's our God, church. That's our King. That's our Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Well, let's stand at our feet. Shoebox, if you go to a shoebox, they're due Sunday. Bring them Sunday. This Sunday morning, shoeboxes are due. And do what? I'm not going to check them. That's up to you and God. If I got, if I pray for empty boxes, that ain't on me. Father, we thank you for this word tonight. We are so thankful. You're our God. You're our King. You're our Lord. Let's be mindful, Lord, of all that we have and not complain about what we don't have. As we leave here today, give us a heart of gratitude, even the way home, and begin to really reflect on the goodness of you, Lord. Your mercy and your grace in our lives. We give you praise and honor. We pray for protective graces, and we continue to pray for Mindy's friend that, Lord, this young lady makes a full recovery, that her body is made whole by the Master, and that she has a testimony of what her God has done. We thank you and praise you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. You have an offering put in the offering plate before you leave, and see you Sunday morning.